up. So from the University of Georgia. We'll start now at basically 10:30, and this session should end by 11:30 today, and then we'll reconvene in here at 2 o'clock after lunch. So lunch will be on your own. And up to right now, we're scheduled for four papers, but it looks, I don't have one of them loaded up, so I don't know if the author's going to load up right before or not, but the third paper in the session is currently not loaded. So if that's a no-show author, just for schedule's sake, we'll just have to skip that 15-minute time block. It'll sit open. We won't present during that time so that if someone wants to come to the last presentation, we don't mess that up. So,
start the clock on myself.
So good morning. I've introduced myself, and basically what I'm going to talk about today, this is kind of year two of a project that we've been working on, kind of a large-scale planner research project where we're looking at downforce and depth control systems on cotton emergence growth and yield. May not be working anymore. There we go. So basically, our research methods, to jump into those, we use a 4-row monosyn planner, nothing special there. Another reason we're using that is everybody that works at the university understands why I'm using that. I inherited that planner. So don't have the money to go out and buy the new nice one. Y'all, if you were in here earlier, you saw my graduate student. We're working with a John Deere that does have a precision planting system on it, but that planner itself belongs to somebody else. The system belongs to us. But so we use this planner. We did put new downforce springs on it to ensure that we were comfortable with those poundages and measured those poundages. But basically, we picked three settings. There's four settings on that planner, but we picked the lowest, which is 100 pounds, medium, which is 200, and high, which is 300. The evening before we planted this trial, I don't know if it's good or bad, but we went about a week and a half or 2 weeks without rainfall and let the ground dry out. And so we added pre-plant irrigation to the trial the evening before at a rate of zero, what we call the dry. The optimal, we added a half inch, and the wet, we added an inch to that field. Planted three seeding depths for cotton, and I just talked to my agronomist for seeding rate, seeding depth, and then the varieties. But shallow, a half inch, optimal is what we normally plant in Georgia, an inch, and then too deep is an inch and a half. You'd never see it planted, hopefully, never see it planted an inch and a half. That's making an assumption that a guy was planting corn, perhaps, or beans or something earlier than that, and then failed to readjust his planter prior to moving into cotton, or that he got into a certain another situation. And then I planted two varieties, which for variety namesake, I'm not going to name here because you'll see in some cases why. But I had a small seed or low vigor variety, and then I had a larger seed, higher vigor variety. So talking about planting conditions, so this is the two dynamic ends of where we planted the cotton, just to kind of show you where it's at. The top left picture, and I promise if you walk up close enough to that projector screen, within each one of these circles you can visually see in that picture cotton seeds laid on top of the ground. That was basically my half-inch depth, no downforce on that planter. And what you're seeing there is basically when the guy goes to dust that cotton in, he's not even, in this case, you know, the opening disc are not even really opening a furrow. They're just laying that seed on top. They're what you'd call just skimming across the top of the ground. Now, the opposite end of that is, let's just assume that we had it set a little too deep, that we had a max downforce set on it, and we had wet soil, so we had a heavy rain maybe the evening before when we were in a drier soil condition and had to turn that downforce up, and we come back into that wet soil type, and you can kind of see visually where we've really created a trench for my press wheels right there. So we pushed that soil and caused some really bad compaction issues. So let's talk about the implications of those and what happens. So a lot of information, and I'm going to show you, so I'll try to go through it and explain it. But I want you to step back and look at the big picture, to be honest with you, instead of trying to focus on all the little bars and little lines and stuff like that. This is first my large seed, high vigor variety. If we look to the right, my nominal seeding rate was about 42,500 seeds per acre. That is low compared to most standards, but we plant very low seeding rates in Georgia compared to a lot of other states, so if you're wondering about that. And then the rest of the information I've already given you, except for the moisture contents, and they're also labeled across the bottom of the graph. We took bulk moisture contents at time of planting out of that field. Even though it doesn't seem like much at 6, 7, and 8.5% on a wet basis, these were actually statistically different when we checked those from the samples we had collected. So the 6% moisture is all in blue, 7% is in orange, and the 8.5% is in green. And so that'll kind of hold through in the next couple of graphs. So when we look at this, we've got a half inch, 1 inch, 1.5, low, medium, high downforce. That's how they're grouped. So like I said, step back and look at the big picture for a minute. And we look at that, we don't see a whole lot of difference in some of the emergence until we start looking at that higher depth and that higher moisture content, if y'all notice that. So we start kicking the downforces and the depths up. We're really starting to hinder some emergence there. We are getting crops up. We're still getting the plant up above 30% emergent. This is the dark colors week one, the light colors week two, or excuse me, 3 weeks after planting. So kind of keep that graph in mind. That's the high vigor variety. Now look at the small seed or low vigor variety and see what you notice. So immediately we see that we're not getting as much crop up off the bat anyway. So if we're looking at, you know, we've picked that particular variety and we're in some of those conditions, our emergence rates are very low. And then when I look at the same thing I pointed out before, that higher depth, higher moisture content specifically, and higher downforce, we're actually getting little to no emergence values at all right there. And we're going to see that in a few minutes. That showed up in yield, that showed up in stand counts, that showed up visually, that crop. So here's where a picture's worth a thousand words, I guess you would say. So we've done plot overlays from just a UAV flyover. And so you see each one of my treatments there is labeled. If you can, the reds are the high, are the inch and a half depth. The greens are my half inch depth, and the yellow is my 1 inch depth. And you've got the downforces labeled. And so the other thing that's going on with this graph, you might wonder why some of the plots look really, really spotty like they do. Like this is, these two are kind of a good example. There were four row plots, and so the high vigor variety was planted in the north four rows. The low vigor variety was planted in the south four rows. So we really start to see in a lot of these cases where we're able to get that high vigor variety up, even in harsher conditions. Keep in mind this is a wet condition, able to get it up where we were able to unable to get any stand with that lower vigor variety in a lot of these treatments with that deeper depth. So we see that pretty consistently, the deep depth from what we saw from our stand count. So that was the wet. Look at the optimal. The optimal looks a little bit better. This is what you would hope your cotton field would kind of look like. You know, we got a little bit of moisture there to plant into. We're still having some stand issues in certain cases with higher downforce. But overall, that looks pretty good. You can tell that we've got an adequate stand throughout most of those plots in that field. And then the dry, we kind of see the inverse of it. You know, we still see some problems in some of the higher plots, but I saw some problems in some of the other plots too, some of the low. We weren't able to really reach any of that moisture in that dry soil there when we left those seeds sitting on top. So, again, we had emergence issues. And the reason we're looking at the soil moisture is if we can find a way, we're working on ways to measure soil moisture on the go so that we can try to adjust those planter parameters based on that so we can match that seed to where it's at. This is, like I said, the foundation of a longer project. So, basically, we saw that high vigor seed performs best when we're planting at about a 1-inch seed depth. That's our recommended seed depth. That tells you why that's where it's at. And that's with medium to, or low to medium downforce. And that's independent of moisture content. So it doesn't really matter if you've got a high vigor variety you're planting out there. You can kind of have a low to medium downforce and you're good to go across a lot of soil ranges that we saw this year. However, we've got really low emergence. We plant at or over an inch and a half deep with higher moisture content, or what we observed as higher moisture content in this particular study. When we look at a smaller seeded or lower vigor variety, it didn't perform very well. Obviously, when we planted it very deep, you see that all the way across the board. We had emergence issues and we planted it over an inch and a half. And then, like I said, when we look at those two graphs to each other, we see lower emergence in the low vigor variety compared to the high vigor variety, which kind of begs the question, why are we planting those particular varieties? But they have other positives when we start looking at them. A smaller seeded variety in a lot of cases means that we have more room in that bowl for more lint development, right? And so we can get more lint off of those. That's one of the big positives. They're usually a higher yielding variety if we can get a stand established and get them up and growing. So we can see some of that when we start looking at yield. The only thing I've changed up on you in this particular graph here is now the darker color to the left is my higher vigor variety. The lighter colors and all those are my lower vigor varieties. So that's kind of treatments lumped together, all thrown up there, so you can actually compare those two varieties. So we do see a few cases that, as I just stated to you, that lower vigor variety has the opportunity to out-yield that higher vigor variety. So it does pay off, you know, and it depends on what you're looking at and what you need. But when we look putting that variety in some very, very harsh conditions, what we start seeing is very little or high reductions in yield, especially when we start comparing it to that higher vigor variety. So I think this does one thing independent of the engineering work we're trying to do with the planter. It starts allowing you to choose where we can look at putting certain varieties in particular areas in the fields. If we have areas that are more prone to crusting, holding water, being a harsher environment, we might want to look at these higher vigor varieties or look at it more of a multi-hybrid style, or change our approach here from what we're normally doing. So just to break it down and let you look at them independently really quick, we ran statistics on this data. What I need to point out, the red is a low vigor variety. We did not look at statistics yet between the high and the low. So when you look at the red numbers versus the black, you can't compare those to each other. Compare red to red, black to black at this point. So if you look across at the high vigor variety, there was no difference in yield. That's what I pull out. I look at this low vigor variety by treatment. We do start seeing significant differences by yield in this wet, right? Significant reductions here, similarities here between the half inch and inch depth. So again, it's really critical early season we check those planters and make sure we're set where we need to be. Look at optimal. Still see reductions, not as bad. So we still see pretty much a statistical similarity across most of the treatments with the high vigor variety. We do have a little bit lower here for some reason in the yield, but then we go back and look at a low vigor variety. Overall, we're statistically similar until we get up to this medium and high downforce when we're here in this inch and a half depth. So we're not quite as wet. We didn't compact those soils quite as bad when we were planting. Didn't cause as many emergence issues that didn't translate to yield issues. So, and then the dry soil type, if we want to look at that for a minute and see how they come out. And what I relate this back to, a lot of our producers have this idea, it's been really dry, been warm, not looking for a lot of rain. They dust the cotton in, right? They're going to lay that seed pretty shallow, hoping to catch a rain. That's usually in a dry land environment. So here's your dry environment, and then we want to look at kind of dusting it in here. Does it really work or not? So overall, from the yield perspective, not a whole lot difference when we look at the high vigor variety. The low vigor variety, you know, these two look fine. If we kick the downforce up too high, I think we were pushing those seeds a little deeper, and we kind of see that trend across, and they were not able to really get any moisture. That's my theory at this point. So they weren't able to get emerged and out of the ground like they should have, you know, they should have been able to. And again, we see reductions in yields over here. We're at an inch and a half. So you kind of have this happy range somewhere in here, depending on what variety you're planting. All right, so yield conclusions, basically in most cases in extreme conditions such as too wet, too high downforce, higher vigor variety had the opportunity to perform the best from the standpoint of both emergence and yield. So again, if we're looking at a bad environment, poor field, et cetera, we should pick a particular variety on that. Or if I step back and look, if we're using an older planter or something that's kind of out of our control, we want to compensate for that with the crop. We have the ability to do that. We've shown that. The lower vigor variety was able to yield similar or higher than the high vigor variety when the plant conditions were more optimal. So let's just, you know, if we're in ideal plant conditions, that's a perfect place to pick. But it takes a lot to get that ideal planting conditions. You know, that's what I'm trying to sell home with this. If we're off on that planter on depth a certain way, half inch too deep, half inch too shallow, et cetera, we can really mess that up. We got our poundage wrong on our downforce. So what we're starting to see as the basis of this, there's definitely a depth by downforce interaction. We knew that, but if we can't maintain that depth due to an incorrect downforce, there are going to be both emergence and yield penalties. We're showing that right now with this. Selecting and applying optimal planter downforce depends largely on apt planting, field conditions, soil texture, and correct planter setup. So what's the field look like at that particular time? And the initial results of this study suggest the need for real-time measurement control of row-by-row downforce based on apt planting field conditions. So we're looking particularly soil moisture and texture right now. Emergence sometimes correlated to yield, but not in all cases. Other factors in the season can have an impact. You know, it was covered earlier. If we have delayed emergence, we can exacerbate other problems. And in addition to this study, we've collected some physiological growth data that we're analyzing to look at not just the stand in the yield, but to look at the growth of that plant over the season to see how that was affected by these planter parameters. There's a lot of data there, so it's taking us a little longer to get through all of it. But there's our entire field. I just threw it there for the look, so that's kind of where our treatment blocks are at. You can pick them out. And I'm going to defer to any questions. I've got about a minute and 20 left. All right. What's next? Oh, for us? So what we're hoping to do, we really wanted to start looking at some developmental work on our own, and we may still take that route, but something that we want to test is Precision Planting has the Smart Firmers out. I don't know if you're familiar with those or not, but they supposedly measure soil EC and moisture in the furrow as planting. And we want to use the basis of this data to develop a model to know where that seed needs to be at any given reading of EC and soil moisture. So what I didn't cover here that we're doing on the side is we're collecting a lot of soil EC data across the southeast and doing similar studies on farm to correlate that back to crop emergence rates. So if we can get a downforce by depth, by EC, by moisture content interaction in a model, then we are hoping that we can develop a control system for a planter to keep it where you wanted it throughout the entire field. That's ultimate goal. That's probably out here. We're still back here, but that's where we're working towards.